We start in Delhi, 1947, and the British rule of India is drawing swiftly to an end.
There's such rancour between the leaders now, it's nigh on impossible to get them in the same room.
Well, whatever their differences are, all Indians have one thing in common.
What's that?
You can't wait to get rid of us. Mr. Nehru, sir.
Excellency.
Good afternoon.
Lord Ismay. My dear, dear Dickie.
Pandiji, thank you for joining us.
It is always a pleasure to be in the Viceroy's house and not in his jails.
The scene from Viceroy's House, a historical drama which explores how a line drawn across the map of India saw the creation of Pakistan, the displacement of 14 million people and around a million killed. In that scene, Hugh Bonneville plays Lord Louis Mountbatten, the Viceroy of India, chairing a meeting between Nehru, the man who would become the first Indian Prime Minister, and Jinnah, the Muslim League leader. Given the historical and political scope of the subject, it may be surprising to find that this is a film from Gurinder Chadha, best known for domestic comic dramas including Bend It Like Beck. When she came to Front Row earlier today, Gurinder told me that she was inspired to make Viceroy's House when she visited Pakistan in 2006 to make an episode of the BBC genealogy programme, Who Do You Think You Are?
I had never been to my ancestral homeland. Growing up in London, I'd always yearned for some sense of an ancestral place. But my homeland, which was the foothills of the Himalayas in India, was, of course, now Pakistan. And when I arrived in Pakistan, I was quite reticent. You know, I was quite fearful of being in this alien country in some ways.
And from what I remember, you were calling it pre-partition India.
Yes, I say in the programme that I would prefer to call where I am now pre-partition India, because that's what I relate to, as opposed to Pakistan.
That was the narrative you understood as a kid?
As a kid, exactly. But then when I arrived in Jhelum and arrived in the particular area where my grandfather had built this big house, I was shocked with the amount of warmth and affection that the people greeted me with. They all came out, they all said, welcome, you're our daughter, this is your home. And they threw flower petals at me and they presented me with a shawl. It was terribly moving. And we find the house and I'm thrilled to sort of be able to touch something of my ancestors. And this was the house that my grandmother had left in 1947 with the clothes she was in, along with five small children. But there now were five Muslim families who themselves were refugees from India staying there. And it was at that moment that I really understood a different narrative around partition. And here were ordinary people who, rather than being bitter about those events, you know, were very warm towards me.
In that moment, when you were there, I mean, as I remember at the end of that programme, you were very deeply moved, you were crying. But did you think, as you were there making that edition of Who Do You Think You Are, there's a film in this, I've got to make it?
What I felt in that moment was I really should make a film about this, but there was a part of me that felt that I just didn't know how to, and perhaps I didn't have the courage to, because it's such a traumatic period in not only my background but in the countries, you know, Britain, India and Pakistan's history. You know, it's
and the layers of politics. This is such a complex story. Yes. It's still such a vexed story. Mm. And the way and how you decide to tell that narrative.
Yes.
This is a world away from Bend It Like Beckham.
Yes.
Or Angus Thongs and Snow.
Yes, yes.
You've got to think as a director in a very different way.
Yes. I mean, my storytelling is always about trying to tell you things that you think you know but you don't know. And in the past, I've used comedy in that way. I've been quite personal, always emotional, you know, by the end. You know, that empathy thing is a big thing for me. I want to show you the world from my perspective, my unique perspective as a British Asian. But with Viceroy's House, this was different. I mean, it was a major historical moment with figures that live very large in people's minds and memories, with the Mountbattens and Nehru and Gandhi and Jinnah. So I had to employ a whole different set of directorial rules, but the storytelling is still the same.
Sure.
I'm still telling you a story about myself, my history, my background from a British Asian perspective, and telling you that the way you've been thinking about it isn't quite correct.
And I think actually there's another twist to that, in that people who will or think they know something about partition and the history of India and Pakistan will know it, that plan drawn up as the Mountbatten plan. So we have Louis Mountbatten there as the viceroy. And in effect, taking the historical flak. Now, this actually looks at the story in a different way.
Yes.
It's a sympathetic portrait of Mountbatten, surprisingly so. And that is rooted in documents which have emerged, as I understand it, only recently, which show how the plan itself was drawn up in London by Churchill, and in effect, Mountbatten was a patsy.
Absolutely. The narrative I had always grown up with in England, what I'd been taught at school, was that in 1947, Britain was ready to hand India back, and Mountbatten was sent out to give us back our freedom, but we started fighting with each other.
So he drew a line.
And so he had no option but to divide the country, and so partition was our fault. That was what I had grown up with. But here in my research, I was finding documents that said the opposite, that actually partition had been planned. It was a political act. It was policy drawn up initially under Churchill's government.
It was part of the great game with Russia, in fact, wasn't
Absolutely.
It was a real global perspective to it.
Absolutely. Post-war, 1945, both Britain and America were very nervous of Stalin and what was going to happen in Asia. So here they were having to hand back the jewel in the crown, India, but worried about what would happen to their military and strategic positions in Asia if they were to hand India back. But of course, Gandhi was a formidable force and had kind of brought the British Empire to its knees, which is why, as many people know, there was no love lost between Churchill and Gandhi. And so, you know, Churchill was looking for a way to sidestep Gandhi and find a way to keep Britain and America present in a military and strategic way in that area.
You start the film with the caption, it says, "History is written by the victors." And what you're suggesting is that you are a victor here, yes. And there is a generation of post-colonial, British Asian people who have come out the other side of partition and have told the story in a new way, and that in a way is a victory.
Absolutely. And do you know, I was horrified to hear from a teacher that the British Empire is no longer taught in some schools. And so something that's so important to the defining who we are as a nation, you know, Britain.
Who do you think you are? Comes back to that question.
Yes, but exactly. And what we see going on around us today with the rise of, you know, division and hate and the sort of scapegoating of one community against another, all that has its seeds in the fact that Britain, for hundreds of years, had a policy of divide and rule around the world. Britain went out, exploited countries, Liverpool, London, the city, all these wonderful cities are built on the back of the empire. And to eradicate that story from British history is completely disingenuous in understanding who we are as a nation today. So that's even more reason why the film for me is important.
Right. And in terms of your own career, this is it's a broad canvas on which you are painting and telling these stories, and the budget is big and the cast is large. It is a step up for you in a way, isn't it?
It's a massive step up for me, and I think it's taken me a long time to move away from the Bend It Like Beckham reputation, because of course that's a much loved film and still is with a whole new generation, but people want me to make that film over and over again, you know. And so I'm hoping that Viceroy's House will be that reminder to say, no, actually there are other stories to tell.
Gurinder Chadha, her film A Viceroy's House opens in cinemas on Friday the 3rd of March, certificate 12A.